Starting in our Likutei Morans, it's on page 54, the left-hand column, the paragraph that begins with the words Ki HaSefer, four lines into the paragraph, two words from the end of the line, where it says also the words Ki HaSefer. This is where we left off last time, I believe. Rabbein Azal says, Ki HaSefer Hu Bechinas Shmi Shenichtav B'Kedusha. The Sefer Torah, or a Sefer of Kedusha, Sforim, written by Tzadikim, they represent Hashem's name. The Meforshim bring that the Torah is called Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every word in the Torah is actually a form of the name of Hashem. So that a Sefer represents the concept of the name of Hashem that's written in holiness, V'nispashet Ba'olam, and a Sefer is spread throughout the world, V'oise Shem, and it gives publicity to Hashem, just as it says by Mordechai HaTzadik in the Megillah at the end, V'shomoy hoylech b'chol ha-medinois, that his reputation extended throughout the countries, throughout the world at that time, his name was spread, his name or reputation. Those two words are used interchangeably. So too by Hashem. It's through the Sefer, called the Torah, that the name of Hashem is publicized. Through the Torah and all of its components, all the Sforim that are written by Tzadikim, this is what helps to spread the name of Hashem. Rabbein Azal says, V'da, and you should know, She'kol echod v'yechod tzorech lishmoir es b'chinas Moshiach she'eshloi. Each and every single Yid, each and every single Jew is responsible to guard, to protect the b'china of Moshiach that each and every one of us possesses. Each and every one of us has inside of us a b'chinas Moshiach. Rabbein Azal explains, Ki kol echod kifi kidushosoi v'taharosoi ken yeshloi b'chinas Moshiach. Each and every single Yid, according to his purity, each and every year according to his purity, has a bechina of Moshiach inside of him. According to his purity, in terms of Tikkun HaBris specifically, as Rabbein Azal explains in Torah Beis and Likutei Moran, in the first chelik of Likutei Moran, that Moshiach represents this concept of Tikkun HaBris b'shleimus. The pasuk says, "Mipri bitnecha oshis lekisei loch." The Pasuk says, Hashem says, from the fruit, from the children of Dovid HaMelech will come forth one to lead the Jews, when? Im Yishmeru Bonecho Brisi. If the Yidden will keep the Bris Kodesh. We know that Moshiach represents the Malchus, the Kedusha B'Shleimus, and Malchus is dependent on Yesoid, on Tikkun HaBris. The sphere of Malchus is adjacent to and receives from Yesoid, so that Moshiach represents the perfection of Shmiras HaBris, Tikkun HaBris. Rabbein Azal says, you should know that each and every single Jew, according to the Kedusha and Tahara that he maintains, carries inside of him a Bechina of Moshiach. V'tzorech lishmer ma'oid shalo yiskalkel b'chinas Moshiach shaloi. And each and every single Jew has to guard himself to see to it that the b'china of Moshiach that's inside of him shouldn't be spoiled. V'ikra dovor sheboi toloi b'chinas Moshiach hu shmiro miniyuf. The main thing that Moshiach, the main thing that this b'china of Moshiach inside of every Jew is dependent on is a Jew guarding himself from the b'china of niyuf, from pigama brischas v'shom, from adultery, from any type of illicit relations between man and woman, either in thought or speech or action. Ki Moshiach hu bechinas chaitem. We know that Moshiach is represented by the nose. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, Ruach apenu Moshiach Hashem. Moshiach is called Ruach apenu, the breath of our nostrils. He's our life. He's the life of Klal Yisrael. But note, he's referred to by the nose. Just as we mentioned many times, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Moshiach's power to be able to identify in a din, in a litigation between two people, which one is telling the truth, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Moshiach is going to be Moirach Vadoin. He's going to be able to smell the truth. The Torah seems to emphasize very much by Moshiach the koyach of the chaitim, that Moshiach represents the nose. And we mentioned once that the Hasidic Sforim bring that the reason for this, why is it that Moshiach bedafka represents the nose, the reach, the power of smell, more so than anything else, this ruach apenu, because it's brought that when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, which was the Atzas HaNochosh, that was the advice of the snake, they ate from the Eitz Hadas. At that point in time, out of the five senses that a human being possesses, four of them were Nifgam. The Pasuk says that Chava saw that the tree was toiv lamachol, v'nechmad lo einayim, it looked good to the eyes, sight. So we see that the eyes were nifgam. She looked at this tree that she wasn't supposed to look at. It says that the snake pushed her into the tree. She touched it. She took from the fruit. She took in her hand. She touched. So that the chush hamishush, touch, was nifgam. She ate from it. So the taste was spoiled. Touch, taste, sight, and she listened to the words of the snake, the Torah tells us, the power of hearing was also nifgam. The only one of the five senses that's not mentioned at all in the Chumash where it discusses the Eitz Hadas is the chush hareach, the power of smell. And this is why the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that Moshiach, who's going to be the kenegdoi of the Nochosh, Moshiach is Bigimatria Nochosh. The Nochosh was the first one who brought death to the world. Moshiach is going to be the one to bring life to the world, to eliminate Moves. Bila HaMoves Lo Netzach U'mocha Hashem Kol Dimo Mi'al Kol Ponim. When is that going to be? Moshiach is going to be the equal opposite force to the Nochosh. Therefore, Moshiach's power has to come from the one area that wasn't nifgam in the pegam of the Eitz Hadas. This is why Moshiach is referred to as the power of smell. He is the Ruach Apeinu Moshiach Hashem. Rabbi Nizal says, V'niyuf tolui b'choitim. We know that niyuf, pegam abris, is associated with the nose. K'moy shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, loy sinof. In the Ten Commandments, it's written, loy sinof. The Isa and the Medrash Rabbah bring some parshas nosoi, loy sehene af. Don't instigate anger. People that are involved in niyuf, in adultery, they bring out a charoi naf. Rachmona litzlan, a wife commits adultery or a husband commits adultery, right away the other partner finds out, Rachmona litzlan, and this brings out charoi naf. This creates fire in the marriages, and Rachmona litzlan, explosions go off. So the Medrash darshins on the word loisinof, loisehene af, that this is referred to something that initiates af anger. Af also refers to the nose. This is something that smells good. This is the term that's used in the Medrash. So Rabbi Nizal says, so we see an association between Moshiach, who is called Ruach Apeinu, and this item called niyuf, loisinaf, which is a combination, it's nutriken, loisehene af. It also refers to the nose. Rabbi Nizal says, v'tzorech lishmoyer atzmoy ma'oid afilu mireyach niyuf. A yid has to protect himself, has to watch himself very, very much, even from a smell, from an aroma of niyuf. Because if a yid even gets close to anything that resembles niyuf, this is poigim in the bechinas moshiach that Jew possesses, which represents his nose. His nose becomes pogum. Rabbi Nizal brings in Sefer Hamidos that from the nose of a person, you can tell his bechina of tikkun abris. And it's brought based on this posuk that the Medrash says, loisinaf is loisehene af, that the nose is what gives away the purity or impurity of a person in the concept of tikkun abris. Ubechinas Moshiach hu sheire al anpeyoi raisa. This spirit of Moshiach hovers over the Torah. Dahainu hasforim hakdoshim shemegalin haponim shel Torah. These sforim specifically that reveal the pnimius of Torah, that reveal the secrets of Torah, the true depth of Torah. The spirit of Moshiach hovers over those sforim. Vishom Marachef Ruchai Shom Moshiach. That's where the spirit of Moshiach hovers over. Bebechina, as the Pasuk says, Veruach Elohim Marachefes Alpnei Hamayim. The Torah says that when Hashem first created the world, the spirit of Hashem hovered over the waters. The Zohar HaKadosh on that Pasuk says, Ruach Elohim Do Ruchai Shom Moshiach. That the term Ruach Elohim refers to the spirit of Moshiach. This term Ruach is used over there about Elohim, and it's used in the Torah about Moshiach. Moshiach is called Ruach Apeinu, Moshiach Hashem. So we see that this term Ruach refers to Moshiach. Shemarachef al pnei hamayim, this spirit which hovers over the water. What is water? Umayim hu haTorah kemuva. The Gemara tells us in Tainus that Torah is compared to water. Just as water flows from a high place to a low place, so too the Torah is attracted to a person who keeps himself humble, A person who has shiflus, anivus, that's a person to whom the Torah comes to. So we see that the ruach of Moshiach hovers over the Meimei HaTorah, over the Sefer Torah. The spirit of Moshiach is to be found there. And Rabbein Nizal says here that each and every single Yid, according to his purity in Tikkun HaBris, that's how the Yid protects the Ruach of Moshiach that's found in each and every single one of us. Each and every single one of us possesses an aspect of this Ruach of Moshiach, and we protect it by how strict we are in Shmiras HaBris. Now Rabbein Nizal explains, so Rabbein Nizal is going to throw out a whole series of concepts here, and all of them are going to be tied together. Once we complete this Torah, you're going to see how all of these items are hooked together. Now Rabbein Nizal says, Vida, you should know, Shebechinas Ruach HaPeinu, Moshiach HaShem, this Ruach HaPeinu, Moshiach HaShem, Nase Ruach Kino Shehoilech Umekane Bekol Mokoim Shemoitze Shom Niuf Hunase Ruach Kino Umekane Alze Legoidil Kidushosoi Vitaharosoi. Rabbein Nizal explains, you should know that this spirit of Moshiach, which is a fire, it's something powerful. This Ruach of Moshiach becomes a jealous spirit, a Ruach Kino, that goes and acts in a jealous manner wherever it finds any niuf, anything that resembles Pegam HaBris. This Ruach of Moshiach turns into a fire that comes in with a jealousy, and it's mekane on behalf of, because of the fact that Moshiach represents the epitome of Kedusha and Tahara in Tikkun HaBris. Therefore Moshiach, this spirit of Moshiach, can't stand anything that resembles Pegam HaBris. And when it sees this item, it moves right in with a jealous spirit, with a kanaus on behalf of Hashem. Just like the Torah tells us about Pinchas, Bekanoi Eskinosi, that when Pinchas, who was the son of Aharon HaKohen, Pinchas, who the Zohar HaKadosh says, Pinchas do Eliyahu, and Elyonovi is going to be the one to introduce Moshiach. Elyonovi is actually a part of Moshiach. He's part of this whole coming of Moshiach. He's going to be the one to introduce it. Vivaser lonu besura istoyves, yeshua isvenechamais, that's going to be Elyonovi. Elyonovi represents this Ruach Kino, who is Mekane wherever there's any Pegam HaBris. Just as when Zimri ben Soli and Kozbi bas Tzur, when they perform this illicit act in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, this act of niuf in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Pinchas took this roimach and stuck them. He killed them both right on the spot, because he represented this ruach kino, this ruchay shel Moshiach, that's mekane for any pegam HaBris. Rabbein Nizal says, upa'omim mekane vihi nitmo. There are times when this ruchay shel Moshiach shoots off its bullet, in a sense. It moves in, and it's actually accurate. In other words, it's because there was actually a tumah. The person actually committed a sin, lemaisa, and this ruach of Moshiach comes in to do its thing. Oy overall of ruach kino vehi loinitmo. Or, at times, the Gemara says a husband feels a jealousy for his wife because he's suspicious of her. He suspects that chas v'sholom she did something wrong. She secluded herself with a man for the amount of time that they could have committed a sin, chas v'sholom, and he's suspicious. So at the pasuk says v'ovar olav ruach kino, a spirit of jealousy will pass over the husband v'hi loinit mo, and at times she didn't actually commit a sin. So Rabbein Nizal says here ki l'goydel oitzem kiddush, because of the fantastic high level of Kedusha and Tara that this spirit of Moshiach possesses, even if the person didn't commit an actual act of Pegam HaBris, this Ruchai Shel Moshiach can even lash out just for a stira, just for seclusion. If a man and woman go into seclusion, in other words, there's the tiniest defect in Tikkun HaBris, even if it's not in an actual act of sin, this Ruach can move in a very powerful way. Ki nechshav pegam keneged oitzem taharosoi shel haruach kino. Because compared to the incredible high level of purity that this spirit of Moshiach possesses, the tiniest deviation in Pigama Bris is considered a sin. It's considered an ugly item relative to the fantastic high level of purity that this Ruach HaShem Moshiach possesses. V'nase al yidei zeh lefa'omim get. And at times, this actually leads to a divorce. The Alkane, and therefore, Nikro Haget Sefer Krisus. We find that in the Torah, a get is called a sefer which cuts. Why is the term sefer used about a get? Kinase al yedei ha-sefer sheshom shoyre ruchai shom Moshiach shehu haruach kinakanal. Because how is this divorce brought about? A divorce is brought about where a dissatisfaction slips in between the husband and wife, possibly because one is jealous of the other, or one is suspicious of the other, this ruach kinah, where there's this suspiciousness, and this is brought about via this ruchai shel Moshiach. This ruchai shel Moshiach is what moves in and causes the explosion. Where does this ruchai shel Moshiach come from? It's merachefes al pnei amoyim. It hovers over the Torah, over the sefer Torah. That's where the ruchai shel Moshiach is to be found. Therefore, this item that brings about a break between a husband and wife is also called a sefer. It's called a sefer krisus because it's initiated by this ruchai shel Moshiach, which hovers over the sefer, al pnei hamoyim, over the sefer, over the sifrei Torah. Or at times, shemashke oiso mayim ma'orim, the husband gives his wife these mayim ma'orim to drink, va'azai nivdekes, and then she's checked out. Im nitma, if she committed a sin, it causes death, Rachman Otzlan, it causes her stomach to swell up and explode. She dies a very embarrassing, insulting death. V'imlav, and if not, azai adaraba. What happens is just the opposite. V'nixov and Israel Zora, she's given a blessing for children. So Rabbeinu Zal here is explaining the fact that there is this Ruchai Shel Moshiach which hovers over the Pnimius HaTorah, those Sforim of the Torah that contain in them the secrets of Torah, the Pnimius of Torah, they have this spirit of Moshiach hovering over those Sforim, and this Ruchai Shel Moshiach, because it represents the highest degree of purity in Tikkun HaBris, because of that fact, it's mekane, it goes in and does a job wherever there is pigama bris chas v'shalom. And this doing a job manifests itself either chas v'shalom in a destruction, in death or divorce, or in causing them to drink these bitter waters, which could lead to a test to prove whether there was actually impurity there or not. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Vida, and you should know, sheyesh yichuda tato'o shebazeh ha'olam, there is a lower yichud, a physical yichud in this world, shehu bekashrus gadol, which is extremely pure, extremely kosher, bekedusha ubetara kolkach, and it's performed with such holiness and purity, ad sheboi toloi yichuda ilo, that in this yichuda tato is dependent the yichuda ilo. In other words, there is an association between a male and female on this earth that's performed with such kedusha and tara, with such holiness, that the yichud between Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina depends on this yichud tato, on this yichud lamato within this world. Rabbeinu Zal explains, shehazug, this couple, dahainu ho'ish v'ho'isha, this male and female, ksherim kol kach, they are kosher to such an extent, shehi ksheira ma'oid, ve'ein bo shum shemetz psul, she is kosher to the extent where there isn't the tiniest iota of psul in her, v'gam hu kosher ma'oid, and he is also, the male, is also 100% pure, v'zivugam bekashrus u'begedusha kol kach, and their zivug, their association, is with such incredible purity, Sheboi toli yichuda ilo, that in them is dependent the yichud kutshebrichu shchintei. How do we know this? How is it feasible to say that the yichud lamala between Hashem and the Shechina is dependent on a human couple? The answer is it's a beferish Gemara. The Gemara says in Saita, ki ish veisha, if there's a male and female, zachu, if they are zeicher. The word zachu means zeicher, privilege. The word zachu also means pure, zach. Shemen zayis zoch kosis lamor. If they keep themselves very pure, shchina shruya beinayim. The shchina rests among them. And the Gemara there explains, ki yesh boy yud, ubo hey. The word ish has the yud in it, and the word isha has the letter hey. Shezehu yichuda ilo. This refers to the uppermost yichud. We know that in Hashem's name, yud ke vav ke, it actually represents two yichudim, an upper yichud and a lower yichud. There's the yichud of vav and ke, which is one yichud, that's called a lower level yichud. There is the yichud of yud and ke, which is a higher yichud. The letter hey represents the shechina. There are two Shechinas, which are referred to as Rachel and Leah, or the many different names that are associated with them in the Sforim. The Yud-Ke represents the Yichud Ilah, the highest Yichud by Hashem and the Shechina. So the Gemara tells us that if a couple in this world are zeicher to conduct themselves 100% pure, then through their coming together, through the unity between this Ish and Isha, they can actually bring together the Yud and Ke of Hashem's name. V'zeh ha-zivug v'ha-yichud tato hu yokor ma'oid ma'oid. This couple, this Yichuda Tato is very, very precious. May Achar Shebozeh Oilam Nase Yichuda Tato Bigdusha Kazu Sheboy Toli Yichuda Ilo. This couple is considered very precious because of the fact that their mating actually is able to affect a Yichud Lamala, the Yichuda Ilo. Rabbi Nezal explains now, Vihine Haruach Kino Shehu Bechinas Ruchai Shel Moshiach Kanal. This Ruach Kino that we just spoke about, that represents the Ruach of Moshiach, Shehu Mekane Al Niuf, which this Ruach is Mekane, when it sees any Pigamabris, when it sees any deviation from purity. Ma Hu Oiseh Kan, how does this Ruach deal with this couple? Is it completely absent? This couple that conducts their relations with the highest degree of purity, is this Ruach Kina absent from them, or is it present? And if it's present, in what form does it manifest itself? Rabbi Nezal explains, Me'achar Shehem Kedoshim Utohirim Ma'oid, because this couple is very, very holy and pure. Mahu Isakan, what can this Ruach of Mashiach do here? Me'achar Shehem Kedosh Mutayr Ma'oid. Because of the fact that this couple is so holy, it would appear as if there's nothing for this Ruchai Shel Mashiach, for this Ruach Kina, to be able to do over here. Rabbi Nezal says, Ach da, you should know, Shekan bo Ruach Kina b'shvil ahavo. Whereas in the previous cases, we said that the Ruach Kina comes to destroy, to kill, or to smash, to destroy the marriage. Here, by this couple who are conducting themselves in such Kiddusha and Tara, here the Ruach Kina isn't absent, it's present here also, but here it serves for the sake of Ahavo. Ki Isa Bezoyar, it's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Vayechi, Kol Rechimusa, Deloy Koshir Imo Kina, Lav Rechimusa Rechima. Any love, Rechimusa in Aramaic means love, any love that doesn't have a jealousy attached to it is not considered love. Hahu dechsiv, the Zohar HaKadosh says, as the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Ki azo kamoves ahavo, koshe kishoil kina. The love between the Shechina, between Hashem and the Jews, is described as powerful as death, and as powerful as Gehenim, a jealousy that's as fiery as Sheol, as Gehenim. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, you should know this is a fantastic Chiddush. Some people, if they would know this, this is an incredible piece of information. That when we talk about the love between a parent and a child, or between husband and wife, or between a Rebbe and a student, the love that's flowing from one to the other, any love that doesn't have a jealousy associated with it, is not classified as love. So that if a person sees he's jealous, if a person sees his wife talking to a strange man, and he feels bothered by this, he feels that this is something that's taking away from him in a sense, this shows that his avo towards his wife is a proper avo, that the avo is bishlemus. And if he doesn't feel bothered by this, it shows that the avo is not a real avo. So too with the Rebbe and Talmidim. If a Talmid sees that a Rebbe is devoting a lot of attention to another Talmid and not to him, and he feels bothered, he feels jealous by this, that jealousy shows that the love is a sincere love, that it's an avo bishlemus. And if that jealousy is not there, it means there's something missing in the avo. Now we know that kina, as Rabbeinu Zal is explaining here, jealousy can be a destructive force or a constructive force. The Gemara says, kinas seifrim tar bechochma. When Talmidei Chachamim become jealous of one another, each one pours on the gas, each one accelerates. One sees the other one is more religious than him, he's learning more, he pours on the steam. It gives him a push. It gives him incentive to try harder. Not that he looks to pull the other guy down to him. This kinna works in two ways. Sometimes a person's jealous, I don't have, so I don't want the other guy to have either. Another person is jealous, I'm jealous that he has more than me, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get more than him. We're going to keep chaining, rolling higher and higher. Each one is going to chase to run ahead of the other one, so that each one incites the other one to rise to higher and higher madrigas. So Rabbeinu Zal says, ki hakino meire al avo. Jealousy is a sign of love. Ki machmas goydel ho avo ho mekanebo. It's because of the fact that the husband feels a tremendous love for his wife. He's jealous of her, and he says to her, al tisteri, don't go into seclusion with another man. Kedei shelo yiskalkel ho avo chas v'shon. Because to him, this love that he shares with his wife is considered to be so precious that he feels a he feels threatened. He's fearful that nothing should chas v'shalom be mekalkel that avo. Nothing should tarnish or taint or harm that love whatsoever. That's how this ruchay shel Moshiach affects this spectacular couple. This couple who conduct themselves in complete purity, for them, this ruchay shel Moshiach serves as a ruach kino to strengthen the ahava between them. Ah, however, Rabbeinu Zal says, machmas she'af al pikein, ze ha'yichud tato hu boze ha'olam. Nevertheless, Rabbeinu Zal says, because of the fact that this yichud tato is taking place in this olam hagashmi, in this physical world, yuchal lehiskalkel ha'sholim shebeneim chas v'sholom al yidei ha'ruach kino. There exists a potential because this kina is like a nitroglycerin. It's a dangerous item. It's a very hot, powerful item, an explosive item. It's possible that this ruach kina should cause a kilkel in the shalom between this very religious couple. Ki hakina, this, because jealousy, afal pi shehi bishvil avo, even when it's for the sake of love, yecholim lahatil machlekes chas v'shalom al yidei shemekanala, it has a potential to bring about machlekes, to cause problems in the house, rachman al-tzlan. Even when a husband or a wife feels jealous for the other one, machmas avo, it's very easy for that to go one inch off base to be the cause of the greatest machlekes, where the tiniest move that one makes, the other one feels suspicious and suspectful, and it causes a hate. In other words, this avo, this super avo, turns into a hatefulness, or it brings about machlekes in the house, chas v'shalom, because of the tiniest kilkel, because this item is so sensitive and gets harmed in the tiniest way. So that Rabbeinu Zal explained in this paragraph that we just learned, that there does exist a yichuda tato in this world, a couple that conduct themselves with the utmost of kiddusha and tahara, to such an extent where the yichud lamala is dependent on them. And whereas, where we said before, that wherever there is pigamabris, this ruchay shel Moshiach moves in and it's mekane, and it destroys, it smashes, it breaks up, when it comes to this super couple who are so spectacular in Tikkun HaBris, this Ruchai Shel Moshiach also gets involved over there. This Ruach Kina also implies there, also applies there, Machmas Ahava, as the Zohar Kodesh explained, any Ahava which is lacking in Kina is not really an Ahava. So here the Ruach Kina also gets involved in a form of Ahava, but Rabbeinu Zal attaches a warning. You should know that nevertheless, the fact that this Yichud HaTorah is taking place in this world, in this Olam HaGashmi, because of that, it's possible for this Ruach Kina, when coming even to this couple, to this super, super religious couple, it's possible for it to cause Machlokes over there also, with the tiniest, tiniest kilkel, in other words, the tiniest deviation from being perfect, this Ruach Kina can serve as a destructive force over there also.
Same can apply to other
relationships, like friends, Rebbe, 100%, because as we explained in this morning shir, in the Shabbos shir, this yichud, zohar nekeva, what's another word for zohar nekeva? Mashpia and mekabel. The Zohar Kodesh says you should know that every single thing in this world is either male or female. It's not just a human male or female. You can have a female who's a Bechinas Zohar, if she's the Mashpia. Anyone who is giving, whenever you have one who is giving and receive, and another one who's receiving, the one who's giving relative to the one who's receiving is a Bechin of a Zohar and a Keva. So that the concept of the Yichud between Moshe and Yehoshua also represents this super spectacular Zivug.
So this Keno, which seems Rabbeinu Zal saying is everywhere, even if, you know, where it's good, it comes to help the Ahava, it, you know, seems like it's impossible to escape this Ruach HaMashiach.
100%. 100%.
So what do you do with it?
You use it only for construct. The Gemara says, "Kina soifrim tar b'chachma." Jealousy is a good item. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal saying you can't have Ahava without Kina. With a warning, with a caution, 100% true. That even when it comes to this super, super spectacular couple, because this kina is a dangerous item, it could, there is a potential of rather than it increasing the ava, it could lead to machlokes chas v'shalom. And possibly this could be the concept between the kina, between the brothers of Yosef HaTzadik and Yosef HaTzadik. They saw that their father was showing a favoritism to Yosef HaTzadik, and Machmas, their avo, for Yaakov Avinu, who was the tzadik, he was the mashpia, they were the mekablim, they felt this kina, this jealousy, for the fact that Yosef HaTzadik was getting more attention than them, and although this was a kinas tzifrim of big tzadik and big talmid chachamim, you see it was able to lead to machlekes. No question. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'alkein, and therefore, da, you should know, shebishvil ze tzrichim hatzadikim hagdolim lahalim teirosom l'soifon o lahavidom kanal. This is the reason why many very, very great tzadikim are forced to hide their Torah, to burn it, or to destroy it. Kidei sheyihye nistale karuach kina. In order to eliminate this ruach kina, this jealous spirit, shelo yikalkel chas v'sholoim, sholoim hazivug hakodesh kanal, so that it shouldn't spoil the peace between this zivug hakodesh. Now, what Rabbeinu Zal is implying, you should know that the ruach kina, as it applies to this zivug hakodesh, we have to assume that it could be destructive, and therefore we have to get rid of that ruach kina. The item that helps to eliminate this ruach kina is that the sefer, the sforim of these tzaddikim have to be eliminated also. It has to also be erased, destroyed, burned, go into hiding. Just as when there is a kina between husband and wife, there is this jealousy between a religious couple. Let's say she was 100% kosher. What happens? What's the procedure? We take a part of the Torah, we write it on cloth and everything, and we scrape off the letters. We're forced to erase. Because it's called also a sefer. If you look in the Parsha Saita, it's called a sefer. You remember the pasuk? The chosav ha'olois ha'ele ba'sefer. He will write all of these instructions on a sefer, and erase them, scrape off the letters in the water, and these waters serve as the Ruach Kino, the Ruach Shel Moshiach, the Ruach which is Merachefes al Pnei Hamoyim, on these Mayim Hamaorim. The Zohar Kodesh brings that the word Hamaorim is Bigimatria Malchus, which represents Moshiach, Dino de Malchus Adino, this din, this mishpot that judges, and it's this erasing of the Parsha of the Torah that's given to this Saita to drink. This is what either destroys, if she did commit a sin, this destroys, this causes an explosion, and she dies from it, Chas v'Shalom, or this is what puts together the Shalom in the highest level conceivable. If she is proven to have been completely religious, that she didn't do anything wrong, these waters are what prove it conclusively, and then the Gemara says Hashem gives her a blessing of children, where she becomes much, much more beloved and attractive to her husband than ever before. I'm just giving you a hint as to what we're going to explain when we finish this Torah. We're going to show how this applies to practical items, how this thing which appears to be all theoretical is very, very tangible when we enter into the Parshas Saita in the Chumash, which by coincidence, this was this week's laning, Parshas Nasai, as we have this whole discussion. And we'll also discuss other incidents throughout the Torah, which are manifestations of this. Now Rabbi Nizal says, why? Ki yichuda tato shelohem yokor ma'oid. Because this yichuda tato is very, very precious by Hashem. Ukishniskal ke'el sholem shebeinayim al yidei ruach kino kanal. And if chas v'sholem, the peace between this couple, this special couple on earth, would chas v'sholem be damaged in any way? Hu hefsid godol ma'oid. This would be an incredible loss to Hashem. V'al kein, and therefore, muchrochim sheyu nevodim ha-toyrois v'hasforim kanal. Therefore, there has to be lost these toyrois and these sforim. Note, we have to erase the ruchay shel Moshiach. In other words, what's the item that's causing this kino here? The ruchay shel Moshiach is what moves in. Where is the ruchay shel Moshiach to be found? On the sforim which contain in them the pnimius hatayra. By erasing those sforim, by destroying those sforim, we conceptually erase and eliminate a certain measure of this ruchay shel Moshiach, which could get involved in this couple and cause a problem, chas v'shalom, cause trouble, break up the shalom. Kedei l'sale k'ruach kina, in order to remove the ruach kina from the picture completely with regards to this couple. Ki haruach kino hu ruchay shel Moshiach shehu shayra al anpei raisa. This ruach kino is actually the spirit of Moshiach that hovers over the anpei raisa, over the Torah. Dahainu hasforim kanal, over the sifrei Torah. Nimtza. What do we see from this? Kishenisrofim v'ne'evodim hasforim, when these sforim are burned and destroyed, memela nistale karuach kino shehu ruchay shel Moshiach shesher al hasforim kanal. So Rabbi Nizal says, memela nistale karuach kino shehu ruchay shel Moshiach shesher al hasforim kanal. With the erasing and elimination of these sforim, automatically is also eliminated the Ruach of Moshiach that hovers over these sforim, that could present a potential problem, to this zug, this couple that conducts themselves with such tremendous kedusha. Rabbi Nizal says, "Vezehu soid shmi shenichtav bekedusha yimoche." This is the secret behind the words of the Gemara. When the Gemara says that when you have a situation of a Saita, a woman who's suspected by her husband of having done wrong, Hashem says, Shmi, my name, Shenichtav Bikdusha, which was written in holiness, Yimoche, I'm willing to allow it to be erased in order to bring about a peace between husband and wife. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki ha-sefer hu bechinas shem Hashem. A sefer is a form of... is the name of Hashem. We said that the Zohar HaKadosh said Sefer is bigimatria shem. Bechinas shmi shenichta bigdusha kanal. Sefer represents this concept of the name of Hashem written bigdusha. V'omra Torah, and the Torah tells us sheyimoche v'yayoved kedei lahatil sholem enish lishtoi, that Hashem said that his name should be erased and destroyed in order to make peace between husband and wife. Dahainu zug HaKadosh anal. This refers to this specific husband and wife who conduct themselves with such purity that the yichud lamala between the yud and kei of Hashem's name is dependent on them. Shebishvil hasholim shebenayim nimchin v'noivdin hasforim shem bechinas shmi shenichta b'kedusha kanal. It's specifically for the sake of shalom between this spectacular couple that Hashem says Shmi Shenichtav B'Kedusha should be erased. The holy name of Hashem, written in holiness, representing these Sforim that carry on them the name of Hashem, they should be erased. V'azai noisin kal v'chomer lamala. And the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and the Medrash says in Parshas Nosoi, that when this is done, there's a kal v'chomer that's made in heaven. Hashem doesn't just stop over here. Hashem extends this one step further. What's the one step further? The Gemara says in Shabbos that Hashem says, Uma Shmi Shenichtav B'Kedusha, Madach, my holy name, which was written, is being erased, Shehu Asforim HaKadosh Shemanal, which in our case corresponds to these holy Sforim. Omro Torah, the Torah said, Yimoche b'shvil hatil shalom, that these Sforim should be erased in order to place peace between this husband and wife. Sifrei Haminin, this is the words of the Gemara now, Rabbein Elazar is quoting. Sifrei Haminin, the books of the Apikursim, the philosophy Sforim, Shehein Matilin Sino, the Sachrus Ben Yisrael, Laviyam Shebashamayim, which these Sforim of philosophy create a hate between Hashem and the Jews. They create machlekes between Hashem and the Jews. Alachas kamo v'kamo sheyimochu v'yoivdu v'yakru min olam. How much more so they should be eliminated and destroyed from the world. Sheyimach v'yeyoker zichra min olam. Any memory of them should be eliminated from the world. Nimtza, what do we see from this? This is the words of the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara there in Shabbos says that whenever this procedure of Saita is carried out, and Hashem allows His name to be erased in order to make peace between husband and wife, kaviyochol Hashem makes a kal v'chomer. Madoch, my name, should be erased in order to make peace between a human husband and wife. How much more so the Sifrei Apikursim, which place machlekes between Hashem and the Yidden, they should also be erased. And as a result of this procedure of Saita, Hashem has the Sforim of the Apikursim, the Sifrei Minin, eliminated also. Nimtza, what do we see from this? She'al yedei avedas hasforim hagdoshim, that through the loss of certain holy Sforim, Bo toivo, there is generated a good, shenevdin v'ne'ekrin sifrei haminim, that there is also lost and destroyed, the sifrei apikursim also, va'azai yecholim lehiskariv elav yisporach omein, and then this enables the Yidden to be able to come close to Hashem also, meaning, if you recall how we started this whole procedure, that we're saying that in order to be able to make peace between husband and wife, between the highest level of husband and wife, in order that the Ruchai Shel Moshiach, which is Mekane, shouldn't come into play over there, coming in with the purpose of Ahava and Chas V'Shalom taking a chance that this could bring an explosion, this could cause a machlekes, in order to eliminate that Ruchai Shel Moshiach, how do we eliminate it? By eliminating the origin of this Ruchai Shel Moshiach, which is the Sefer Torah, the Sforim HaKadoshim, by eliminating that, that automatically eliminates this Ruach Kino Shel Moshiach, which could Chas V'Shalom affect a problem between this spectacular couple. Rabbein Elazar says, this conforms beautifully. So what happens? As a result, there are Sforim of Kedusha that are erased. Just as in the procedure of Saita, a Sefer of Kedusha is erased, Rabbein Elazar says, so too, there are actually Sforim, which contain the highest level of Torah, written by big tzaddikim, that also have to be erased and destroyed in order that this shame of Hashem should be erased, in order to bring a shalom between ish lishtoi. Rabbein Azal says, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that whenever this type of procedure is enacted, where the name of Hashem is erased, where the Sefer of Hashem is erased, Hashem says, Madach, I'm willing to have my name, my Sefer, erased, to bring a Sholem Ben Ish Lishtoi, how much more so I should go ahead and erase the Sifrei Minim, the Sforum of the Apikursis, which bring the biggest machlokes, when there's a lack of emunah, these philosophy books, which bring a lack of faith into Klal Yisrael, and therefore they bring a pirud between Hashem and the Jews, how much more so those Sforum should be erased. And Hashem goes ahead and erases those Sforum. So that, in a word, Rabbeinu Zal explained that the reason why we have certain times where the Sforum of certain very great tzaddikim are erased, the purpose of it is that when these Sforum are erased, automatically, Sifrei Minim, very Sforum of Apikursis, which could have presented a very, very big threat to Klal Yisrael, those Sforum are done away with also, and this helps to preserve the Ahava HaKadosha between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and between any couple that's conducting themselves with complete Kedusha. Baruch Hashem.
We implying that the destructive power of those Sforum that are erased as a result of this procedure would have outweighed the potential good that would have come from revealing that Kedush Sefer onto the world.
This is the interesting question. The question is, it seems that rather than do away with both, why not put both there? Put them both in the ring together, let them slug it out, these Sifrei Minim, and these super spectacular Sforum of these Tzadikim. The answer is, Rabbeinu Zal explained, that's why Rabbeinu Zal brought in this whole thing about the Taivas Niyuf. When there is Taivas Niyuf in the world, when the Tikkun HaBris in the world is not being maintained properly, that's what generates a problem. That's what swings it in favor of the other way. Because these two items go hand in hand. V'loy sasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem. The Gemara says, achrei levavchem zu minus, the achrei neichem zu niyuf. That these two, the apikursus and niyuf, go together. The Gemara says, when the Yidden were matir avodah zarah, the Egel Azov was to be matir arayos to them. There are many, many cases in the Torah. The Torah shows how these two sins always went hand in hand, gili arayos and avodah zarah. So that therefore, the Mefarshim explain here that when there is taivas niyuf, and that when there is pigomim of pigam abris in the world, that's what puts it very much in favor the other way, where this ruach kina is able to shoot up as a very powerful flame, and number one, it smashes over there, and that's when it's in a very, very dangerous position, where because it flares up in such a powerful way, it could also put in danger this zivug of kedusha upon which the yichud kodesh baruch hu shunta is dependent on, and it's then that we're forced to go in this direction. Whereas when the taivas niyuf is controlled, when there's kedusha, when there's tikkun habris in the world, then you don't need this haloma of the shem of the tzaddik. And amitz Hashem, next week when we discuss some of what's found in the Mefarshim here, you're going to see concrete examples in the story of Megillas Esther, the story of Purim. You're going to see how at one point in time there was a need for this erasing of the Sforim, for the hiding of the name of Hashem. And at another point, we see a change in scenery where the Shem Hashem comes out in the open in all its beautiful glory. So that's where we see that it depends on the Tikkun HaBris in the world at the time. That's what determines whether we can get away with having the name of Hashem revealed, or it forces Chas V'Shalom, the Ha'aloma of these Sforim. Now, the fact that these Sforim have to be destroyed is definitely a sign of a problem. But in fact, this acts as a solution. This counters. Because this problem is there, and this problem could trigger off this, this is the bandage for this potential problem. Baruch Hashem. That's part of it. You're going to see there's a fantastic, beautiful explanation in the Mefarshim here, tying in the whole story of Purim to to this chapter on Likutei Moran, how this chapter on Likutei Moran is going to explain a whole series of items that are discussed in the Megillah that don't seem to make sense, you're going to see exactly why. Why couldn't Esther Amalka lo higido Esther es amav es moiladeto? At one point she couldn't reveal which nation she came from, where she came from. At one point at the end she did reveal partially, then more so. We're going to have a tremendous explanation of tying in the whole story of Megillah Esther. Why isn't Hashem's name mentioned once in Megillah Esther? Why is the name of Hashem Bedavka left out of Megillah Esther? All of that's going to be explained based on this chapter of the Likutei Moran. That's Hashem. For sure. The fact that Rabbeinu Zal said preceding the coming of Moshiach, there's going to be a mabul of apikorsis in the world. There's going to be a tremendous flood with the emunah, the sincere emunah in Hashem, the straight, simple emunah in Hashem, and emunah in the Torah is going to be threatened, challenged more so than at any other time. Bang. What is Shabbos? What is Shabbos? Shabbos is the highest degree of Tikkun HaBris. Proof is, the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Tznius, that Talmidei Chachamim, Zivugam is Mishabbos L'Shabbos. Shabbos, V'shamru B'nei Yisrael Es HaShabbos, the Zohar HaKadosh says, V'shamru means to watch, V'shamru means to wait for. V'oviv shomar es hadovar, right? What's shomar es hadovar? Es hadovar is bigimatria bris. Shomar, bris. What's v'shamru b'nei Yisrael es hashabos? The Arizal says that the first letters of b'nei Yisrael es hashabos make up the word bia. This refers to those tzaddikim that are v'shamru, they wait. With this item, they wait with their zivug, benish lishtoi, they wait specifically for Shabbos. This is taichin the haftorah. What's the haftorah that we say on a tainus? Koi omar Hashem, lasorisim, asher yishmaru es shabsoisai. This is what Hashem says to the sterile people who are shomer Shabbos. What does that mean? People that are normal, people that are non-sterile on amachal Shabbos? The Zohar HaKadosh says, you know what this means? Sterile all week. They are sarisim. They conduct themselves as if they were sterile during the week. La sarisim asher yishmeru es shabsoisai. They wait for Shabbos. They wait with their zivuk from Shabbos to Shabbos. So Shabbos definitely does represent tikkun abris. And Shabbos does represent the tikkun for apikorsis. Because Shabbos is the yisoid emunah. The ikra emuna bepashtis in Hashem versus kol hamachal Shabbos keilu oyved avodah zarah. That's why the Gemara says that if a person, if the Yidden will keep Shabbos, Mashiach will come. And the Arizal says, this is tied to what we say in the morning, uvo letzion goyel, uleshov eifesh abiyakov num Hashem, va'ani zois brisi. That the main thing that Mashiach is going to come to eliminate is pigam abris. He's going to come, what's going to be his mission? He's going to represent the epitome of Tikkun HaBris B'Shleimus. He's going to eliminate this problem completely from the world. You have to have eyes. You have to have good eyes. If you look in our Sforum, seriously, the Likutei Halacha is, this is what shows you where the Gemara comes to life. You see, you learn Gemara, we learn Gemara two different ways completely. A person has to know, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the words of the Gemara are filled. The Gemara isn't something that's to be learned on the surface. It has spectacular secrets in it. Every word there is measured. Now, that's what the Gemara says, Yishmur Shabsai, so you have to understand what it means. If the term Lishmur in Hebrew means to watch, and Lishmur is also used to wait, it must have a significance. Wherever that word is used, there has to be a potential of using either meaning. It's a switch hitter. What do you want to say? Somebody want to ask something?
I was just curious, the same thing. Why is when something that comes out, why is one thing more obvious than the other? Why was Shabbos stated more obvious and just why not the reverse? Why not say Bris and let Shabbos be the hidden thing?
The answer is, again, that there are reasons for every single word in the Gemara, exactly why it's written the way it's written, period. but knows, if you ask me, how could I say that Mashiach's coming is dependent on the elimination of these two things? The Gemara says Shabbos. The answer is both of these are identical. Shabbos represents Oisi Beiniva Lasais is Hashabbos Ledairoisam Bris Oilam. Shabbos is called Bris. The Gemara says during the week we have two Oises that we carry. One is the Bris Mila and one is Tfilin. On Shabbos we have Shabbos and Mila. So we see that Shabbos and Mila go very, very much together. Both of these are called ice. Both represent Tikkun HaBris. Baruch Hashem.